morning. How you guys doing? Yeah, I feel good. Praises. Worship is, worship is always awesome, man, but God is good. I like hearing you guys, you know. We should do one where we just do all a cappella. No music. Just get everybody close and just worship, man. God is good. Amen? Yeah. No, it's okay. God is good. Well, welcome again. It's Memorial Day Sunday. Tomorrow's Memorial Day. And so we figured, you know, there'd be a little bit less of us here. But you know what? God is good. We're two or three are gathered. He's here, right? We definitely feel it. Even though I had my eyes closed, I felt like the whole NPR was full when we were worshiping, singing. But you guys sound good. I'm telling you. I heard Joey singing up here. I was like, who is that, Joey? I'm telling you, trying to get him up on stage. He's maybe. But welcome again. The theme for Sunday today is obviously Memorial Day, right? So the theme of the service, or the title for the sermon, is called Honoring the Sacrifice for Memorial Day. And before we begin, let me tell you guys, let's play that video, and then I'll jump right into the message right after that. I want you guys to watch this.
They stood as heroes in our midst, with courage in their hearts and fists. And with each step they faced the call to serve their land, to give their all. They left behind their homes and kin for fields of battle fierce and grim. With steadfast hearts and selfless grace to fight for freedom in every place. They marched across the dusty sands to foreign shores and distant lands. And there they fought with all their might in blazing sun and darkest night. Their names now etched in history's page, a lasting tribute for every age to those who served and fell in line to keep our freedoms ever shine. For those who paid the ultimate cost, their lives laid down, their battles lost, their sacrifice a priceless gain for the freedom we proudly claim. We honor them with every breath and cherish them beyond their death. Their bravery a beacon bright, guiding us through the darkest night. So let us pledge with all our might to keep their legacy shining bright and hold them close within our heart, their memories never to depart.
Man. So obviously it's Memorial Day, right? I always say it's always important to remember why we celebrate what we celebrate, aside from that you get the day off of work, and you're probably gonna have a cookout or a barbecue and hot dogs, some tacos, swimming. Anybody gonna have some of those plans maybe? A little bit, right? It's always important to remember why we're celebrating what we celebrate. My gain is a little high. Stephen, I'm turning down just a tad. Now, you guys always know, I always tell you guys, man, I love history. I don't know about you guys. You guys like history? Some of you guys. Well, it's like, no. But Memorial Day, right? You guys remember, and I always say, last time I had it on the handout, and I had a challenge for Mother's Day of who could, I was going to give $100 to anybody who knew how it started. Tony was real quick, and I still owe him that. But he cheated. He looked at the handout. But who knows, who here can recognize or knows when the first memorial was observed, or when it was declared or proclaimed? Anybody? Nobody, huh? No, before that, actually. So Memorial Day is actually one of the older holidays, and it's it was actually declared in 1868 by General John Logan. 1868, and it was proclaimed as a day of remembering Memorial Day. For all the soldiers that lost their lives in the Civil War. I don't know if you guys remember that. And so it was a big, obviously it's been remembered as that. How many of you guys remember a movie? Let me actually tell you guys a story then that kind of ties into the message before we get into it. You guys remember there was a big war that happened in the 1940s, where there was a guy that was trying to take over the world, and it was happening out in Europe. You guys remember that? Yeah, you guys remember that, right? So there was a family out in upstate New York that had four boys that sent their boys, all of enlisted in their early 20s. Does that sound familiar to you guys? And it was a family by the name of, the last name was Neeland. They had four sons that all enlisted to go fight. In 1944, they were all deployed. You guys, and that was also the year of the Normandy. You guys remember what D-Day was? Two of the sons were actually part of that, and part of the landing at Normandy. The other one of the sons was actually sent off to go fight in the Pacific, and another one of the sons was airdropped in behind enemy lines. And so, true story, what ended up happening was two of the boys, Preston and Robert, and I say boys because they were in their early 20s, probably 21, all of them within that range. They're all born within 3 years. Robert and Preston both died on D-Day on the beaches of Normandy. The son, Frederick, was actually airdropped behind enemy lines and was thought to be lost. Report came back as the other son was actually in the Air Force, and his plane was shot down in the Pacific fighting. He was in Japan. And so the report came back. Two of the boys confirmed had passed away. One of them, airplane shot down, was soon to be dead. Right. So the one that got airdropped in the back, Frederick Neeland, was the one that inspired a movie that you guys are all very familiar with, right? It's called Save Your Private Ryan, yeah. And so in that movie, what ends up happening is Frederick, and who's prior, that's, of course, they change his name, Matt Damon. There's not really... But he portrays the part of Frederick Neeland, who actually then has to go back. And because of the he's a sole survivor, right, in terms of all, there's actually a not a law, but there's a decree within the military. If you're a sole survivor, they bring you back home, right? And so they had to go back and find him. And he actually did make his way finally back, and there's a whole other story. Now, a good part of Saving Private Ryan is, you know, fiction. Like Captain Miller, you guys all like Tom Hanks, right? He's so awesome. He wasn't really that's the part that's made up a little bit, right? But at the end of the story, at the end of that movie, there's a really cool scene. You guys remember that? Where Captain Ryan, Private Ryan is, he's now an elderly gentleman. He's at Arlington Cemetery with all the flags. You guys remember that scene? And there's something that he keeps asking himself over and over again. To his wife and to his kids. You guys remember what it was? Did I earn it, right? Did I earn? Because he knew what it cost. He knew the sacrifice that was made for him to have his freedom, right? And so I wanted to open with that because that's a true story, right? Somebody sacrificed their life, their liberty, so that we could have freedom that we have, right? We have a lot of freedoms here in the United States. I'll tell you what, I'm old school. I love me some United States. I'm telling you. Because I know where my parents came from, right? And we have a lot of, it's not perfect. Let me just say that. It's far from perfect. But man, I think I always say, man, we live in the land of milk and honey. We have the opportunity to worship. And we've been given a lot. I don't mean that in a negative way, but man, we have to be thankful for that. And that didn't come, it wasn't cheap. Right? Some men and women have lost their lives and sacrifice for your ability to have that freedom. I know here in the room, I think Stephen has served, right? So he's, thank you for your service, brother. You know, it's a selfless act to do that, to go in, and particularly those that have lost their lives. So as we're going through our weekend, just remember, right? Remember why we're celebrating what we're celebrating. It's not just because you want to have an extra day off. An extra day off is nice, and you can go swimming and have hot dogs. But let's just, I always say, pray, remember what it really means, right? Going back to the story with the Neeland family, it turns out the son that was, his airplane went down in Japan behind enemy lines. He was captured as a prisoner of war. And they actually found him in a prison camp in Burma, right, later on. So by that time, they had already brought his son home, and he found out after the fact. So actually two of the boys at Normandy were the ones that ended up passing away. But can you imagine being mom and the dad to those four boys when you found that out? When you've been told that three of your sons are dead and one of them is behind enemy lines and we can't find them. You know, that's just, to me, it's crazy. And so to that, trying to bring it into the sermon and what we're thankful for, we have a lot to be thankful for. Number one, for the sacrifice, again, of men and women that have gone before us for our freedoms. But here in the context of the church, we have a lot to be thankful for, right? At the closing of that video, there was a scripture that was up there, and it was John 15, and it says this, "Greater love have no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friend." Amen. And so what do we do? What do you do with that kind of sacrifice, right? If somebody gives their life so that they can make a way for you, I mean, man, I don't know. The sermon is going to build on that. You don't have to know the answer right now. We're gonna give you the answer. That's the cool thing about when you come to church. We don't just leave you with a cliffhanger and say, "Well, figure it out." We're gonna give you the answer to the scriptures. But Romans 13:7, right, says it's a reminder to us about how we're supposed to respond. Romans 13:7 says, "Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes." Now I know, man. I wish Paul would have wrote something else. Like, he would have filled with the Spirit and say, "You don't have to pay taxes." You know, that'd be awesome. He didn't say that. He says, "But if you owe taxes, pay the taxes." Boo. He goes on to say, "If revenue, then revenue." Meaning if you owe them money, like if you owe them gain, right? Pay them back. "If respect, then respect. And if honor, then honor." Right? He's saying if people have already earned it, right? He goes on to say, yes, pay your taxes. If you owe them wages or revenue, pay them. But if you owe them respect, then give them that respect. And if you owe them honor, then honor them. Yeah? So we have a lot to be thankful for, because a lot of us, you know, I'm a first generation son of an immigrant, right? True story. I was conceived in El Salvador and I was born here. Praise God. I'm the anchor baby. Some of you guys that watch politics, you guys know what that's about. But we have a lot to be thankful for, right? And why I'm saying is pay respect and honor, because even in the context of our family and our own stories, somebody has gone ahead of you and paved the way for you. It may not be perfect. The way paved is not always perfect. But I always say, let's give people some grace. Because the people that were going and blazing the trail before you, there was no path there, guys. They did the best they could. And I'm saying, like, you know, and my brother knows exactly where I'm going to come from. You know, my dad immigrated here in 1978. And it's cost my brother, he knows the sacrifice more than I do, right? The sacrifice that he had, that my brother had to experience, that my mom and my dad had experienced, for them to have the opportunity to live here, to be blessed with the opportunity that we've been afforded, right? That didn't come without a cost. So we have to be thankful and respect and honor those that have gone ahead of us. Does that story resonate with any of you guys in your life? We don't stand where we are just by happenstance or circumstance. So somebody had the courage to say, "I'm going, I'm doing it." And we're here, amen? That's my wife's story too, right? It's funny how God moves, right? My father-in-law enlisted in the service in the Navy. Should I tell the whole story? Part of it. And he wasn't going to enlist, but he did. And he kind of like knew somebody and figured out a way to get on to the roster. And he was actually able to serve. And because of his service, all of her family was able to like immigrate over as well, right? So it's funny how God is moving a gal from the Philippines and a young man from El Salvador here to plant C3. I don't know. That's another story for another time. But what do we do first, right? The first thing that we have to do is we have to then give honor. And we have to recognize, in the context of the passage that we just read in John 15:13, we have to give honor first by recognizing the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. That's number one in your handout. And I could tell right here, Joey needs a clipboard right here, so somebody wants to run one to him. Oh, he likes his leg better. Okay. Got it. You know, that's what happens when you go to the gym. It's so rock hard. They're like, I don't even need a clipboard, Pastor. Have you seen these thighs? I bench like 500 pounds. I mean, squat like 500. I like that. Jesus Fit Ministry right here. I like that. I like that. Man, this is like a rock, Pastor. I don't need no clipboard. Okay. But we honor... I'm sorry, I can't help myself. But we give honor by first recognizing the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, right? And we just said that. How do you first even give honor? You have to recognize what somebody has done for you. Recognize what your parents have done for you. Recognize what your grandparents have done for you. Recognize what your aunts and uncles. Listen, you're not here by yourself. You're not so awesome that you're like, oh, look at me, I'm self-made. No, it takes a village. It takes a church body. Now, in the context of the passage, Jesus is saying greater love has done than this, and to lay down his life for one's friends, right? We have to embrace the example that he set for us. He gave his life for us. While we are still sinners, he gave his life for us. And where did he come from? How do we highlight that, right? Let's read in, I would say, because we're going to come back to John 15, but I want us to spend a little bit of time in Philippians 2, because we're going to talk about what Jesus gave his life. And sometimes when we just say that, we can just say it in passing without really comprehending and understanding what did that sacrifice mean. So Philippians 2, and we're going to start in verse 5 to 8. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. You guys there? So Paul says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Now, this is the part that I want to highlight. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by coming obedient even unto death, even death on the cross. Amen. We always have to understand, what did the full sacrifice of God mean? You heard say it a lot, and like I said it earlier, you might just skip it and say, oh yeah, God gave his life. No, he didn't even count himself equal to God, even though he's part of the triune God, right? He's part of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And can you imagine what that's like? Can you imagine having the communion with God and with the Holy Spirit? And then to say, guess what? I'm going to go down. I'm going to surrender my life. I'm going to make myself less than. And I'm going to give my life on the cross because I love them. Man, I don't know if we fully understand that. I've said this before, that oftentimes in the scripture, the picture that is that used the most to talk about the oneness between Jesus and the church is that of what? Of marriage, right? And so if you look at your spouse right now and you would say, I would be willing to leave you and to go give my life for people who hate me. I would be willing to leave you to sacrifice, to become less than for my enemies. Now, who's the one enemy? You, in your head, if I tell you, do you have an enemy? Yeah, Satan, right? But you also hear, we're people, you have people that you're like, oh man, I can't stand that guy. I can't stand her. I know we shouldn't be that way, but it's true. No, no? Yeah, only two of you guys are honest. The rest of you guys are like holy rollers. Like, not me. I love everybody, Pastor. I'm like Jesus when I show up. Everybody wants to be around me. No, right? All I'm saying is that, like, would you would have a hard sacrifice in giving up that relationship, that oneness that you have for somebody that you love. You definitely wouldn't do it for somebody that you don't like, right? You definitely wouldn't do it for your enemies. But that's the contrast. That's what Paul is telling us in that second chapter of Philippians, that Jesus himself, being in the very nature God, didn't consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Now, how many of you guys, you get a little bit of a title, you get and you use it to your advantage? Oh, I know somebody. Do you know who you're talking to? Is that something familiar? You would use it, right? But Jesus himself, being the very nature of God, didn't use it to his advantage. If anybody had the opportunity, like, can we send somebody else? You know, why me? No, he didn't say that. He humbled himself and made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in his appearance as a man. He humbled himself to becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. It's one thing if you sacrifice yourself. Even that is something that is a very far stretch of your mind. But the death on the cross and the humiliation and the pain that he endured was the worst kind of death. So it's important that as we remember, today we're talking about Memorial Day, that remember the sacrifice that Jesus made and what it cost him. The second fill in the blank for this morning is that we have to give honor to Jesus by exalting him to the highest place in our lives and making him our Lord. We give honor to Jesus by exalting him to the highest place in our lives and making him our Lord. If we continue in Philippians 2, verse 9, it says, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen? Man, I always say, whenever you read like a passage of scripture like that, you can just say, okay, let's pray. We're done, right? Listen, I always say there's power in our words, yes, but there's so much power in what God says. And so what Paul is telling us in that scripture is that God himself exalted him to the highest place. And I know this is hard because everybody's like, well, I don't see him. I don't know him. Listen, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord, whether they want to or not. Right? Earlier during the worship, you heard me say that our lives are meant to glorify God one way or the other. God is going to be glorified. I would say, we should choose to glorify him while we have the opportunity to do it. Because there is a day when he is coming back, brothers and sisters. And we're going to glorify. I choose to bend the knee now and worship him now than to be forced to bend my knee later. While I have the opportunity to repent and give my life, it's such a blessing on this side of it. I mean that. This side of heaven. I always say, like, listen, it's not that we repent and we choose Jesus because it's like, oh, I'm like running. When we get God, we get God. And his blessing and mercy extends on this side of heaven. As you want to live the full life, all the things that we want to see, it starts by putting our faith in Jesus Christ and knowing him as our Lord and Savior. That's a privilege and an opportunity that we have to do that now versus if we have a hardened heart towards God and we're forced to bend the knee later. That is such a strong passage that Paul tells us in terms of his reminder to us, right? Because ultimately, he's coming back, right? He's coming back. And this is the other thing too, and I was tempted to do a message, I'm going to do one, but anyway, on Jesus being not only the Lord of heaven, but also under, right? Have you guys got that? That Jesus is exalted and Lord, not only in heaven, but also in hell. You're like, whoa, that's kind of strong. But he is. It's not like he's not aware of what's going on there. Jesus is Lord of heaven, of earth, and even of hell. And we have the opportunity. I'm gonna preach a message on that one. I'm just give you a little sneak peek. I'll come back to it. So what do, right? Once you recognize that somebody has sacrificed so much, do you waste it? Like any friends or family members that are like super entitled and ungrateful? You know some like that? We do, right? And they're like, oh my gosh, they're like the worst, huh? We can't stand them. They're annoying. We pray for them. No, we pray for them, yeah? Because they're so that attitude of just not being grateful the attitude of being entitled, isn't that like just, I would say that's like the worst. You cannot, it's just like, oh, I can't even stand to be around that person. I can't stand to, just being honest. Well, when we recognize the sacrifice that God has made for us, what is our natural response? Should we take it for granted? Should we just assume and say, oh, I'm just, well, Jesus loves me anyway. I'm just going to keep living my life. I'm just going to keep sinning. I'm going to wait till the very last. I'm going to be like the cross. I'm like be the thief at the cross. At the very last minute, I'm going to repent, right? And that's a fool's way of thinking, because what's happening is that you're choosing to live your life and go through a whole lot of pain, devastation, and hurt until that last minute. What an awful way to think. But do you know people that think like that? I kind of know some people that think that. It's like, oh, I'm just going to live my best life right now. I don't want to go to, that's for you. I'm glad that you need that. You've been invited to the church. You're praying for them. And it's like, I'm good. And when I need it, and when I'm ready, like when I get older, no. That's choosing, right, to go through a lot of hurt and heartache versus just, I would say, living the blessed life that Jesus has for us. So what are we going to do in response? When we recognize that Jesus has given his life for us, when he sacrificed so much, we don't want to be like those entitled brats that we talked about. You know somebody, right? They came to somebody, you're thinking about them right now. We're going to pray for them. But we want to be people that are humble. We want people that are thankful. Isn't it good to be around those kind of people? You know those people in your life too? People that are just humble, salt of the earth. Maybe they love Jesus. They're just here to serve. Man, that's different, right? That's a whole lot. It's like, man, you like to be around those kind of people. Hopefully when we ask that question, people are thinking about us, right? When we say that and not the other one. So what do we have to do in response? Well, number three, the way that we honor the sacrifice that Jesus made is by remaining in his love and being fruitful. The way that we honor the sacrifice Jesus made is by remaining in his love and being fruitful. Now we're going to turn back to John chapter 15, where the passage that we opened up with, John 15, 13, was found. Now we're going to read that section. Every now and then we'll hop around in a sermon and we'll just grab a scripture out of the air and we'll just use it. But I always say the context of the scripture matters so much because it gives you the whole picture of what was going on at the time. So we started with John 15, 13, but now we're going to read a good section here. And we're going to read 1 through 17. And I'm going to be quick, I know. I'm going to spend some time and I'm going to stop and talk about a little bit of things, but I always say it's important that we have the context to what's happening in the passage. John 15, 1 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Right? Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, do what I command. If I no longer call you servants, the servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have been made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other, right? Big passage, right? Big chunk. You guys have already heard probably different messages about this particular scripture. The things that you're going to see, that the common things is, you hear it say what? Remain, follow my commands, remain in my love. That's not an accident. He's about to sacrifice and give his life. The context of this passage is that John chapter 14 has just happened. I don't know if you guys know that, but John chapter 15 comes after John 14. Did you know that? Yeah, that's pretty awesome, huh? Man, I'm telling you, dropping all kinds of truth. John chapter 14 is a passage of what? Something has just happened. How do you guys know that? Right? He talks about the Holy Spirit coming and how I'm leaving you. And they just had the Last Supper, guys. I said, you got to picture it. In your mind, picture that Jesus given an object lesson. He's probably walking. They're walking from where they had the Passover meal. And they're walking through. And I can imagine that there's a vineyard right there. And he's using the object lesson to say, you see those branches right there? If they stay connected to the vine, they can bear much fruit. But if they're not disconnected, because how many of you guys have walked through, how many of you guys have picked grapes in your life? I have. Man, that's a terrible job. Huh? Praise God, we're not there anymore. That's a hard job. And sometimes you see the branches that are thrown off and he says, you see that branch right there? It's disconnected from the vine. It can't bear fruit. It's dead. That branch is only good for throwing it into the fire. But if you remain in me, then you can bear much fruit. See that object lesson that Jesus is giving? That's awesome. The command there over and over again is to remain in his love and bear much fruit. Remain in his love. Follow what he says. Follow his commandments. And then we can bear much fruit. And it's what? To the Father's glory. It's not for our glory. Stephen hears me say this all the time. What do I tell you? It's not about you. And it's not about me. It's about God's glory. It's about doing what Jesus has called us to do, what God has called us to do. Adriana, you can use that one. I'm kidding. It's not about us. It's if we remain in his love, then we'll bear much fruit. What does that look like? It's going to look different. It's going to be fruits of the Spirit, right? And if we remain in his love, then we can, I would say, man, what else is there, guys? What else is there than if we remain in his love and follow his commands? Then we're going to see the fruits happen in our life. Oftentimes when people in your life that you invite them and they're like, oh, I'm going to go to church because I'm going to pray about this thing. And what are they praying for? They're praying for the fruit. They're praying for the blessing. I don't know, sometimes we're like that. God, please take this one situation, this issue. Can you take it away? That coworker that she's crazy, can you take her away? Right? Can you do this one thing, that person, you know? And instead of saying, God, how do I draw near to you? What are things that you want me to, what are you trying to change in me? How do I show more love and compassion in the situation and circumstance? We don't do that. That's not usually our prayer. Our prayer is, fix that person. Right? But what Jesus is saying is the more that you're drawn to Jesus, the more that the Holy Spirit lives in you, he starts to transform you more into his image, into his likeness. And then we bear that fruit. Fruit that what? Fruit that goes bad after 3 weeks, 2 weeks, a day? Fruit that what? Fruit that lasts. Listen to the things that matter in this life. You've heard me say this before. All the things that we kingdom build here on earth, it's all going to go away. The car that we pursue, that we wash, that we want to keep, in 10 years from now, it's going to be a bucket. It's going to be missing I'll be honest with you. It's going to be all messed up. That's like my first car that I had. It was awesome. I love that car. The house that you clean so much, somebody else is going to live there. Or it's going to get torn down. Do you love it so much? The only thing that lasts is souls. We have to bear fruit that lasts. We got to bring more people to Jesus so he can transform lives. We remain in his love by being fruitful. Number four, we honor the sacrifice by living in unity. Living in unity and humility with Jesus Christ. Living in unity and humility with Jesus Christ. We're going to turn back to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 4 says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and in one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you, the interests of others. We honor the sacrifice that Jesus made by living in unity and humility with Jesus Christ. Man, what an awesome passage that Paul just gives us, right? He's saying, if you want to be encouraged, right, you have to have the same spirit, the same oneness, the same tenderness and compassion. And we can make our joy complete, or make my joy complete by being like-minded and having the same love, being one spirit and one mind. And do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of other people. Listen, when we do this right, when we honor what Jesus has done, when we put other people first, people will notice. You guys know people in your life that they'll do things only when they're looking for something from you. You guys know those people? And you're almost like, what do you want? You're being really nice to me. Like your kids will kind of like do that, right? Kind of were like, oh, you know, I washed the dishes, I did this. And like, what do you want? You know, I was going to say another example, but I'm not going to do that right now. Because sometimes it's like our human nature, right? To want to earn, to do works, because really they want something back from you. How does it make you feel when that happens? Like, well, that doesn't make me feel good. It's just like you did this because you had something in mind. It's almost like when people go fishing, right? It's like, I'm going to give you this one thing, but there's a hook in there somewhere. I don't like the hook. How about you just like do it out of the goodness of your heart? How about you just do it because you're kind, or you're showing compassion, or you're having mercy? No, if you're doing it because you have the hook, like it's like, okay, I'm going to do this one thing for you, Joey. Come and get it. And then the hook, right? That's not good. That's a terrible testimony. We're not representing Jesus to the fullest there. But when we do it with humility, when we look for opportunities to serve with nothing to gain, man, that's where it's at, guys. I mean it. If you want to find meaning and purpose in your life, you're not going to find it within yourself. Jesus is saying when we have oneness with the Spirit and when we are serving with nothing in return, that's where it's at. When we live in humility and with the Spirit, with Jesus Christ, and we look to value others above ourselves, not looking to our own interests, but to the interests of others. Man, I'm going to keep saying it. We live in a culture that is very much, it's all about me. I say this line a lot. I love me some me, and I'm always on my mind. Yeah, that's bad. But that's the flesh. The flesh says, I love me some me, and I'm always on my mind. Right? No. Jesus and the Spirit is saying, forget about that. It's about serving. We just, in our community group this week, we study Mark 10:45, right? It says, the Son of Man came, not to serve, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's an amazing and a beautiful verse that he gives us. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to live in humility. We're called to serve each other. And we're called to do we have the privilege of being invited to be his hands and his feet. It's an amazing blessing, guys. Listen again today as we go through, and I know it's Memorial Day, we got to give communion right now too, but I just want you guys to really just wrap your brains around the love that God had for us. wrap your brains around what it cost him for us to have the freedom that we have to know God and be able to have a relationship with him. It wasn't cheap. It cost him everything. And even as a father, I've said this as a father of four, man, there's no way that I would sacrifice a child. You guys, I've said this before many times to you guys. It is an amazing thing that we can't even comprehend, I think, to wrap our brains around the sacrifice that the Father had to make as well for the salvation and for the forgiveness of our sins. And he offers his grace and his mercy to us freely if we will embrace it. Freely if we really wrap our brains around it and we turn away from our desires and we follow him with all of our hearts. That's it. When you get God, you get God. And that's enough. Jesus is enough, guys. So I'm going to ask a couple of people to stand up. We're going to get ready to take communion here. But to summarize today's message was we have to embrace the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. We have to honor the sacrifice. And we have to live sacrificially with purpose. Now, God is calling you, right, to find and to serve your purpose. That's going to look a whole lot different than what it looks like for me, than for Steph, than for Stephen. We're all called, right? And we're all going to have to give a witness to it. What did you do with my son Jesus? And what did you do with the gifts and the talents you were afforded that were given to you? To me, I want to be standing before our Lord and Savior to say, man, I did everything that I could. There's going to be some times where I know we could have done more. I don't do that out of, this is not one of those messages to scare you, but I hope that we really take this seriously. That every one of us has been charged with the ability to impact somebody's life for Jesus. Every one of us has been called to serve in some way, shape, or form. It's going to look different. Maybe you don't have the gifts and the talents to sing or whatever, but you can pray. You can serve. You can help. You can do things. People are, you know, yeah, there's a lot of the gifts and the fruit that you see that people like are out here in the front. But there's so much that happens behind the scenes that is an opportunity to be Jesus' hands and feet. To me, that's the blessing, guys. So as we're seeking this out, let's remember what Jesus, again, we go through the rest of our Memorial Day weekend. Let's remember the sacrifice, yes, of the men and women that gave their lives to give us the freedom we have in this country. But the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us, we have so much to be thankful for. And it's not just so we can eat hot dogs and go swimming, but so that we can get to be a part of his body that builds it up, that builds fruit, that have eternal impact, and have a lasting value, really. Now, oftentimes, you know, like I said, the enemy is a liar. He'll try to diminish your skills, talents, and abilities, everything God has entrusted you with, and say, you can't do it, you're not smart enough, you don't have these, no one will listen. Listen, when we come to the end of ourselves, when God begins, when we start walking by faith, is when he really shows up. So God is calling every one of us, right, to, I would say, a big thing. I've heard it said before is that we can pray a small prayer or we can pray a bold prayer for Jesus. Let's pray a bold prayer. What do we have to lose? We tried. I tried, Jesus. I fell flat on my face. But guess what? I learned you're still good. And I always say, man, if Jesus has you to it or he calls you to it, he's going to bring you through it and beyond it. God is good. Amen? I'm going to ask you guys to stand. Let's pray. We're going to get ready to take communion too, so I'll cover some of the scriptures there as well. And it's great because it's Memorial Day, and we have the opportunity to remember, right, to do what Jesus asks us to do when he says, do this in remembrance of me. So we're also going to remember the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross, Lord. The Lord made for us on the cross through communion. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for this morning. Lord, you are so good to us. Lord, thank you for allowing us to gather to meet. Thank you for the gift and the opportunity that we have, Lord, just the blessing to wake up, to have this time together as a church body, to hear from your word, to be encouraged, to worship. Lord, we have a lot to be thankful for. Lord, we are so thankful and we honor, Lord, the men and women that have given their lives give us the freedoms that we have, Lord, here in this country. And Lord God, we also give you honor and praise for the sacrifice you made for us on the cross, for the forgiveness of our sins. don't take it lightly. Lord, we want to do what your word tells us to do. We want to remain in your love. We want to show fruit that lasts. We want to stay connected. We don't want to be like the branches that wither and are good just to be thrown into the fire. We want to be fruit. We want to be the type of vine that produces, Lord God, for you, that you would get all the honor and the glory, that we could have unity, that we could be humble the way that you've taught us, Lord, in your word. So, Father, this morning, Lord, I ask that wherever we are, that you forgive us for our sins. Lord, if we've come here, we would be fools to say we've come here all perfect and good. No, we are sinners. We're saved by your grace and by your mercy alone. So thank you, Lord God. Right now I ask every one of us, as we're preparing and we're going to get ready to take communion, that we just inspect our hearts. Where are we at? Have we surrendered our life to Jesus Christ? Is he Lord of our life? We need to make him Lord of our life, because outside of that, we already know what's going to happen. We don't want to live apart. We want to be together, Lord, in unity with you, Lord Jesus, with the Father, and filled with the Holy Spirit. If there's somebody that hasn't given their life to Christ, we're going to take communion, and communion is, it's yes, it's something that's symbolic that Jesus asked us to do, but it's not a religious thing. If you haven't given your life to Christ, we're going to give you an opportunity right now as we're all praying. I'm going to ask you to follow along in this prayer. Lord Jesus, Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you came down and you gave your life for the forgiveness of my sins. For you've been speaking through me to me through this message, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I just want to respond. I want to know what this life is about. I want to know what the abundant life is like. I want to know what it means to be connected to the vine and to have fruit last. And so, Lord, this morning I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to turn away from my sinful nature. I want to turn away from my past. I want to live for you from this day forward. Give me the strength to remind my brothers and sisters to live that life. And I just want to live this for you from this day forward. So you've prayed this prayer this morning, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Anybody? Praise God. For the rest of us, Lord, thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you again that, Lord, you are so good to us, that you meet us at all of our needs. Even when we're going through the struggle, even when we feel like we're all alone, you never leave us or forsake us. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us on the cross. Lord, I ask right now that you inspect our hearts. Your word tells us that we're not to take communion in a way that is unworthy and unclean if we don't first inspect ourselves. And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that we do what Paul tells us to do. Because in the scripture it says, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body of the Lord, against the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment upon themselves. And Lord, I'm just going to stay quiet for a few moments and let each one of us, Lord, just ask for forgiveness. We don't want to bring judgment upon ourselves. Help us to turn away. Help us to repent. Help us to whatever that is, stumbling block that has caused the sin in our life. The unconfessed sin, let's to get rid of it right now. Surrender it at your cross. Lord Jesus, forgive us again. In areas where we're falling short, in areas where we need to continue to strengthen our walk with you. Forgive us, Lord God, when we say we don't have time or we're too tired. Forgive us, Lord God, and help us to remember the sacrifice that you've made. Help us to draw closer to you, Lord God, to be connected to you, Lord, to remain in your love. Lord God, you are such a good and awesome God to us, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity that you give us to have communion with you, to have oneness with you by putting our faith in you, by being filled by the Holy Spirit, and just to do what you've asked us to do as we break bread and remember the sacrifice that it cost you on the cross, Lord God, this morning. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread and he had thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup, the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and this, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord Jesus, thank you again, Lord, for the ability to commune with you, Lord God. Thank you that you are so good, that you revealed to us, Lord, in your word, through where you revealed to us, Lord God, when you came down as a man, being God and man at the same time. Thank you that you revealed to us in the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you revealed to us the nature. Thank you that you remind us, Lord God, that we can be a part of you, that we can taste you, we can see, Lord God, your goodness. With all of our senses, with all of our being, we have the ability to commune with you, Lord Jesus. You're so awesome and you're so good to us, Lord. Continue to watch over our family, our brothers and sisters, Lord. Keep us all safe if we're traveling, if we're meeting together with family, Lord. Just continue to have your hand over us, Lord God. And help us to continue to draw near to you, to be connected to the vine, to live in your commandments and your goodness, Lord God. And help us to bear fruit that's going to last, to give you honor and glory. Lord Jesus, it is all about you and about building your kingdom. And thank you for allowing us to be a part of that, Lord God. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.